We are blessed to have one of the up-and-coming leaders of our organization in our midst tonight. She is our guest of honor and indeed our national representative. She's made quite a name for herself in Chicago with the work that she does as an attorney. And she's now making a real name for herself among us at the National Federation of the Blind. We're so glad that she will be chair this year. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you this evening Ms. Patty Chang.
Thank you, Mindy. Now, I always start my national speeches, at least at banquet, with everybody out there that loves me. So, hi there. I just got a tweet from my husband who says he's watching the. I think he noticed my full pot dinner introduction, Mindy. You guys have. So, without further ado, I want to talk to you all for a little bit. Now, like rollerblade, and he spent hours for at least a couple days a week. Not an outdoors kind of guy. He's not, he's probably never gonna be. So he went to skate with Jonathan and later with Julia. I thought that, you know, kids do tend to talk a little bit with them. So Francisco and I discussed the matter. Francisco pointed out that he had grown up in Central America and had done no skating of any kind. No skating, no roller skating. And he really wasn't keeping up with concrete sidewalks now. So, the discussion continued, and he reminded me that I had grown up, albeit ice skates. I grew up in, and it's a little cold up there, and we have free ice skating rinks, so I spent every winter on skates quite a bit. So why on earth didn't I learn to skate? Well, you know, they were different from ice skates, and I'd lost a lot of vision since high school. You know how that goes. And I didn't think it'd be quite safe. Okay, issue solved. Jonathan would survive if I didn't learn to skate. After all, he'd get with his friends anyway, right? And my life would be okay if I didn't get outside my comfort zone and do this. I just didn't really have to bake the bother. But I am a pretty good nag, and I'm especially good nag when it comes to myself. And I knew that I really wanted something physical to do with the kids. Especially Jonathan, he's a typical boy. He'd rather do something physical than chat with you. So I kept nagging myself, and I finally thought long and hard about it. Chicago's kind of a hard place to do other sports in, since space is at an absolute premium. So to make a long story short, I did finally buy the rollerblades. Incidentally, I still have mine. I have no idea where the kids are. None whatsoever. But the kids and I enjoyed skating immensely, and it was fun to show off and, frankly, to shock all the neighbors and our friends. This story is a parable for life. It's a parable with a little twist. I did well by skating with my children. How do we do, though, if we skate in the other sense of the word? As blind folks, you know that people are more than willing to cut us a break. We all know that most of our coworkers, teachers, and even family and friends have diminished expectations for us. I attended the University of Chicago Law School. During my senior year, an insurance law class was offered. I signed up for the class. Mr. Kimball, the professor, and I met so that we could discuss accommodations and book lists. He informed me that the final exam was not necessary. No, other students in the class were not going to have the same option. A paper would suffice where I was concerned, however. The year after I graduated from the same law school, I learned that the next blind student was not required to do any legal research. He was given the research and simply wrote the memorandum. Working in housing court for the city of Chicago, I worked on several basic court calls. It was clear that handling these prosecutions would suffice for me to retain my job. I had extra time on my hands, however, and we had uncollected judgments and boxes of them in the back. So I asked if I could to collect some of them. Later, my department began handling cases at the City of Chicago Department of Administrative Hearings. We had appeals of having a conversation, which she heartily about that she was over by coordinating these matters. I was already prosecuting baseball, doing collections, which, by the way, is not much fun. But I volunteered to take this task on anyway. Sometimes friends and family offer us rides when we could easily take public transportation. At amusement parks, we are offered the front of the line. At work, it is crystal clear that we can get by with minimum. And what about this? Should we skate as society seems to expect and sometimes presses us to do? Should we be content to attend a community college simply because it is in a familiar environment? Should I write a paper instead of taking an exam? Should an underclassman simply write the memorandum because he can avoid legal research? Maya Angelou said, "I've learned that making a living is not the same as making a life. I've learned that making a living is not the same as making a life." I'm not sure she meant the quote for this context, but it is apt nonetheless. Should we get away with something just because we can? But sometimes life isn't as simple as simply saying no to diminished expectations. Mr. Kimball, remember the law professor who seemed to think papers were easier than exams? I'm not sure they are. But I told him that I would be more than happy to take the exam. I think it's the only time those words have come out of my mouth, but I'd be more than happy to take his exam. I made clear that his lowered expectations were not what I thought. Ironically, that class was canceled, so I ended up not taking it anyway. Remember the blind guy who came into law school right after me? Well, generally, I'm not nosy, at least not about strangers. But, I called our dean of students, and I complained. I complained that this was harmful to my degree. It's harmful for my degree since prospective employers would presume that I did not know how to do legal research either. It never occurred to me to skip this vital portion of what attorneys do for a living. Now people would not want to hire me because the University of Chicago Law School did not teach blind students research. What does impact others, whether we like it or not? What one of us does impacts others. At work, success, in addition to my regular court call prosecutions, favorable evaluation. That was good. But when it came time to pick a supervisor for administrative hearings because the caseload had grown so high that we needed one, there was no other choice. I was already doing that job. So I was promoted. Evaluation at work. We evaluate in 10 categories on a 5-point scale. I received 5.0 in all 10 categories. I do not skate at work. I do not skate at work. If I did, the city of Chicago might use it against the next blind applicant and presume that they could not do the job adequately. Again, what one of us does impacts all of us. This way, Maybe a blind applicant will be presumed to be able to perform the job. After all, I have benefited by others' choices. Annette Nowakowski worked at the City of Chicago before I did, and I honestly think her work ethic is mostly responsible for favorable attitudes about my hiring. At amusement parks and the like, I wait my turn in line. To the chagrin of my children, in the cold. If we allow people to think that we can't stand because of blindness when it is convenient, we are encouraging that line of thinking when blind people apply for jobs. I refuse proffered seats on trains and buses for the same reason. Now, before I close, I'm going to touch on a more complicated issue. What about those half-fare train and bus passes? On one hand, if we use them, we promote the notion that blind people are all poor. We reinforce the idea that we must have subsidies to make it. On the other hand, many of us are in fact underemployed or unemployed. If we don't use them, maybe we end up skating at home. Some of us need the passes to be able to get out to find a job or to interact in our communities. The best solution would be for governments to issue passes based on actual disabled people, like anybody else who needed the passes would get. But in the meantime, I have made the personal choice to not use a pass. My husband and I are both blessed with good, well-paying jobs. And I think that it would be taking unfair advantage of my blindness. I am concerned about the impact these things have on public perceptions. But if I were in a different position, I would use the passes. If I or my kids could not get out to do what we needed to do without a half-fare pass, I would use it, despite the concerns. Some of these issues simply have to be decided on an individual basis. In closing, I ask that you seriously think about whether you skate. Do you skate or not? I dare everyone in this room to analyze what you really do on a daily basis, to go beyond society's lowered expectations for us. If you skate in the physical sense, by all means, go and do it. But if you skate in the sense of giving it your best and exceeding to society's lowered expectations, you ought to cut it out. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a very challenging kind of speech, and I think it's one we don't hear very often these days. I think people are kind of skating around it. Yes, now she can have some tea. That cold's getting better, or will get better, because I bet it isn't now. Okay. So I think that. Before we do a door prize for this, we ought to do a rousing chorus of our Federation fight song. So, glory, glory, Federation! Glory, glory, Federation! Glory, glory, Federation! Our cause goes marching on! My eyes have seen the glitter of the Federation way. The pain like legislation brings about a blinded day. The blind who organizes truly here to stay. Our cause goes marching on. Glory, glory, Federation. Glory, glory, Federation. Glory, glory, Federation. Our cause goes marching on. We just put this song on. This is one of the songs on the Music of the Movement CD that we're putting together. You'd think I would remember it. I don't know. Okay. When it also calls for a door prize. So, of course, right? Okay. So, okay, I'm going to give away a basket.
Mike?
Where's Mike?
Wait, I'm not ready yet. Oh. Not ready.
No. I want to give it back to Timmy Father John.
A what? Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. While we're pulling a name here for our door prize, we'll do two the next time. But the Buffalo chapter has done an incredibly wonderful job of hosting this convention, have they not? Woohoo! Yay! And they have a presentation that they would like to make, so I give you the I thought you were getting talked to. I give you the president of the Buffalo chapter, Mike Robinson.
All right. Patty, before you sit back down, can you come over here for a minute? First of all, thank you for coming to Buffalo, making the convention special. Whenever we have, I'm sorry, also up here, Elliot, one of our members and our creative mind in our organization. She's put together this basket of Buffalo related items for you to take back to Chicago.
Thank you.
And Barb, would you like to tell us what's in it?
Well, of course, we have the Anchor Bar's famous hot sauces for your chicken wings.
Okay. Okay.
We have a buffalo cap. It's pink, of course, because you're a girl.
I see.
We have two buffalo coffee mugs with coffee in them.
Oh, good.
And not liquid coffee. That would be messing up.
I knew. Mike, I got that.
We've got the buffalo chocolates. We've got a pen, and we bought a sticker for your refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
And a buffalo keychain.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, guys.
That's
thank
all
you,
for
thank
my
you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming.
Very kind. Thank you guys for having me. You've been a great group. You know, my convention speech is controversial, so if anybody wants to argue about it later, I'll be glad to.
You've got a friend.
Something else that I failed to mention is Barb is also the one that put together all the snack baskets that have been won today. And the snack baskets that were given away last night at the hospitality room.